Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Over the Rainbow Show with your host Bob Brown on the 1st of July 2016 at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 o'clock Pacific Time and 8 p.m. UK Time. And to all our listeners from around the world, the number to ring the show is 347-539-5367 and from the UK, 001-347-539-5367, and the chat room is open. I've just had lots of problems. My system went down and I've just managed to get back on again. Sorry to Jake, I've got you through. I'm coming through to you in a minute. Well, my special guest tonight is Jake, or otherwise it's called Jacob. Jake is a near-death experiencer, survivor at the age of 5 from this. Jacob has always been open and in touch with the spirit realm. Can we please welcome Jake to the show? Hello, Jake.
Hello, Bob. How you doing? The day has come.
Well,
How are we doing?
I just had so difficult. My own system went down completely just before, about 2 minutes before the show started, and I thought, oh, no. Anyway, we're back on. For some of the listeners in the UK who don't know a lot about you, can you just give us a brief outline about yourself?
Well, absolutely. I, as you said earlier, I'm a profound survivor of a near-death experience that profoundly changed everything about me, and it's my mission in this lifetime to really share what I did and what I experienced. You know, it's almost as if we have holidays such as Christmas where we give people gifts and we think, you know, one time a year, you know, we give people gifts. But to me, you know, from a spiritual perspective, anytime you have an experience, it's a gift for yourself and to give to others. So for me, I hope to give over gifts within every day that I can of this experience amongst others. So I, it's a true pleasure to be on your show, Bob. Thank you so much for allowing me this opportunity and this platform to share. And I always have a passion for, you know, those in the UK and hope to make it there, you know, fairly soon. But what an honor. So I am a profound
I'm sure you will do one day. I'm sure you'll come across what we call the pond to the other side and do a few lectures in the UK.
Of course.
Can you tell us a bit about the out-of-body experience?
Yes, I also, aside to having a near-death experience, I had an out-of-body, a couple different out-of-body experiences. But my first out-of-body experience, you know, came a couple years ago. I was in college, and, you know, one day I just woke up, and suddenly I was literally out of my body, you know, and this lasted for about 3 weeks. Bear in mind, when I say out of my body, I was looking down on myself wherever I would go. And I could feel, you know, water energy in my head. I felt fire energy in my back, and my third eye was literally bulging out of my forehead. I could feel it just circling around. All these energies were cool, but ultimately what you get out of it and what you learn from it is what's most important. So you could feel really good, but it's important to open up. So one day, within my out-of-body experience, I was sitting in a religious place of worship, and I just sat down, and all of a sudden, wings of a bird around me, and all of a sudden, I connected to that, and I was literally able to fly around the entire room of the temple. And then all of a sudden, you know, the energies started rising more and more and more, and I felt my third eye, you know, was just almost about to explode. And then all of a sudden, I felt one strand of energy that connected the entire room with everyone in the room. So for me, I read throughout, you know, the years and so many books about the theme of oneness and how we are all one and we all come from the same place. And really, the illusion of seeing ourselves as a separate individuation from the greater collective whole. But, you know, I think from the spiritual perspective, half the ball game is knowing and the other half is experiential reality. So I experienced the theme of one strand in the whole room, and that was one of the greatest moments in my life. And from that, it profoundly changed me what I thought of the world, of those around me, because it wasn't something from the book, it's something that happened within. And I think all change comes best when it's from within and when it's re-experienced, as I say, because I don't feel anything is experienced. I think things are re-experiencing. You know, we're doing things that we've already done. We just have to go through it.
Yeah. Yeah, it must be so strange at times when you're out of your body and you're moving around and looking down on yourself. It must be so strange. Did you learn anything from it?
Well, people ask me all the time, how come this can't happen to me? You know, when can I have these experiences? How come you're having all this? What I have to say to them is that you can never worry about openings or when your time is ready for you to experience something new on an energetic perspective, which isn't actually really new. But it's peeling off layers of the onion for yourself to get to your core. But really, when you are ready, these energetic experiences will be open gifts for you, much like presents. And you just have to be open and allow them to come and not have your own human side get too in the way. But in terms of, you know, there's a lot of fear surrounding all these things. You have to trust that science has proven that everything has a purpose. So if you believe that, and you incorporate that spiritually, you'll understand that whatever you have, it's within a great, great and grand orchestration, that things are where they're supposed to be. And don't get frustrated, don't get scared, because acceptance is one part, but also understanding that when you're ready, it will happen for your, when you're ready.
That's true.
And when the moment is ready. So there's a real big flow to what we do here spiritually. But for me, my experience was that I was supposed to share it. I look at these last couple of years, and I look at, you know, so many celebrities who have shared their stories and have come out of the woodworks, and I've seen what has occurred from all these stories and the profound change and, you know, the shift of the new paradigm that we're really creating. So for me and for anyone, my advice is if you have something, share it, because holding on to things is no longer the brand of society today. We're a very open market. And people want to hear, the right people actually want to hear. And you'll attract, you know, good people if you have good intention. So that is certainly what I had. But in terms of my experience, what I learned was, it's very funny. You were playing Judy Garland's Over the Rainbow, and I always connected to that. But to me, sometimes you feel, you know, I know Judy had, when she, you know, went over the rainbow, it almost was like a dream to her. Sometimes I ask, is this earth reality a dream? Do we know? But what I will say is, I learned that we walk forward in the human experience, okay, and we're used to things being as they are, but also understand that there's many levels of yourself that are available if you allow them to be opened. So, you know, all these creative, good feeling energies and, you know, people label them as chakras or kundalini or this or that. But at the end of the day, you have a definite spiritual body that's ready to be opened. So there's many different modalities. I was lucky that I, you know, some people have to go into the Himalayan mountains for about 45 years in order to open up anything, you know. But it happened. It happened. And but I think it happened based off of what was occurred to me when I was younger. You know, I was born to have some of these experiences and to share it, not in my way, but to share it in our way, to make it our experience. So, you know, that one enlightening experience was something that I'll never forget. And also tells you how much you have inside of you. And, you know, you know, no matter what form of suffering you may have in any moment, notice that the light is always within. And you could feel amazing at any moment in time because you have something that's not based off of conditions, off of external circumstances. So if you are able to manage your energy and really get in touch with the spirit body, it's always really good, and it always feels the same amazing sensations. But you have to learn, people today have to learn how to demystify the mystified and really understand that you definitely have a spiritual body, and there's definitely a lot of different ways to tap into that. But each opening is big. So don't sell yourself short if you're feeling light, if you're feeling, you know, if your feet are walking on the ground and you feel very light with your feet or your breath feels good. This is all ways of taking, you know, stripping down a lot of the tensions that you've built up in the human experience and really getting in energies, you know, that are otherworldly, so to speak.
Yeah. Yes, that's so true as well. But I suppose it's nice to talk to other people about it. If somebody's, you know, started having them, it's nice to well, I suppose you form a group and you get to talk to each other.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, group is the big, was a great word that you said. Because right now, what we're doing is we're creating societies that are greatly different than what has ever been. You know, having a show like this would be very hard to do back in the day, but now the world is becoming smaller and, you know, information is getting out so much easier that we're becoming, you know, we are really becoming a lot closer. We become closer, becoming more of one. So it's a real, you know, this dawn is beautiful, but with these great energies at hand, there's also great polarities of its opposing force. So some, you know, people have use ill-dignified ways of handling this, and some of these energies are too potent that they have to stay back into the old ways of thinking and processing things as seeing themselves as separate individuations and seeing their own belief systems as greater than yours or monopolizing, you know, their viewpoints in God's eyes. So, you know, just as we move forward, there's also those who don't want to move and are very stuck, and, you know, we have to look at them with compassion, of course, but recognize that those could be our greatest teachers, because when you see something that you don't want to be, you're more likely to be something. So it's forcing many people to choose sides in terms of what they want to identify with. Are you with the group or are you by yourself? These are your choices. It's the selection process is becoming ever more so clear, you know, and we are becoming, you know, a society is becoming more one of those things. But that's beautiful. But group, I am working on running groups for clients who have substance abuse, who may benefit from meditation and mindfulness, you know,
true,
courses. So
I'm sure you would do as well, Jake. Because a lot of people will probably think they're on their own.
Yeah, and I'll get to evidentially how I know that we're not on our own, you know, later in the show. But one of the biggest misconceptions is that I think Michael Jackson once had a son that says, "You are not alone, I am here with you," or something like that. That's so beautiful, so true. People need to understand the illusion of being alone. And I'll get to that a bit more in my talk on my near-death experience. But, you know, that couldn't be further from the truth. Once you think you're alone, you're even more surrounded by otherworldly
yeah,
forces at hand. So you never, I mean, loners don't exist. You know,
as much as
you try to create your own bubble around you, we're not here to have bubbles, because if you were to want a bubble, what would be the point of being birthed around millions and billions of people on planet Earth? So we're here to be social beings, and we're here to connect. Now, some people may feel alone and isolated in that no one understands them, or they don't understand it, and they give up. And a way for them to feel better about themselves may be to have their own, you know, world, so that they won't feel rejected. It's a protective mechanism. We have to be there for people to clarify, and we have to open up the platform for people to express themselves and to share what's going on. Because there's so much potential I see with people who are imbalanced but have so many spiritual gifts. And you see some of the most gifted people who are very underground, who no one knows about. So I think if we find ways to get some of these people out of the woodworks and to allow them to redirect, you know, their struggle as a strength, which it really is, you know, I know a lot of people who run beautiful programs that actually the program is about transforming anxiety into mediumship. You think about it, because a lot of anxiety are people tapping into spirits around them. And when you're sensitive, you're going to have some anxiety, because that's just the way of a HSP individual. Really, I think people, you know, it's all about this paradigm. It's all about a shift in focus. And it's all about a shift in the roads that you take with your own thoughts and your own viewpoint. So education, information, and changing outlook is the world. And that's what you do, that's what I do, and that's what we're all doing, is just shifting. We're just making a shift that makes a monumental change in people's lives if they apply it.
So true. So true. I know Tiffany's there. Is there anything you would like to add to that, Tiffany?
I'm sorry?
Hello, Jake. It's Tiffany.
Hello.
Oh, Tiffany White. How you doing?
Yes.
Doing great. And here to support you.
and we all feel the same about you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there anything you would like to ask, or is there anything you would like to add to this?
Wow. I mean, I know everything about Jake.
Oh yeah,
he is a great motivational and spiritual speaker and teacher, and so I'm really glad that he is on your show this evening there in the UK, and thank you very much, Bob.
Hey,
well,
that's okay.
It's nice to have
Jake on the show, because I think you as well as Tiffany as well get to know a lot of people in the UK.
Oh yes, and for those who don't know Tiffany, you know, if you want to know who's talking, you have to look at their teachers. And Tiffany has been one of my life's greatest teachers. You know, I wouldn't be here right now, no doubt about it, without Tiffany. So I really, you know, I've taken notes, I've studied Tiffany, and I really have, you know, incorporated, you know, a lot of what she's done in this field, and she is a real trailblazer. So Bob and those listening, Tiffany White, my God, you got to get a hold of her. She is one of the kindest, sweetest women, incredibly gifted, incredibly knowledgeable, and incredibly passionate about all things metaphysical, and amongst
yes.
other things. You know, she's
yeah,
not a one-trick pony. She's
well.
Got many different interests. A beautiful
woman.
I'll
be in touch
yeah.
with her. You talk about your near-death experience. Can you just give us a bit of insight into that?
Absolutely. I was once, I was about 17 or 18 years old, and I was opening up a book by an author by the name of Betty Ady. It was called Embraced by the Light. And as I'm reading it, I go, oh, my God, because the story was about a near-death experience, and she wrote about it. So that taught me that what I had, there was a label for, and there were other people who had it, but I didn't make anything out of it. To me, it was just a really powerful experience that I never really analyzed or looked back on in the rearview mirror that I had. But anywho, the story goes, and, you know, I market Jacob's story, but really I try to make it as our story, because I think when you have an experience, it's collective, it's shared, it's not meant to be held. So our story began when I was about 5 years old. When I was about 5 years old, I was, you know, going into, this was in the mid-1990s, I was going into a car with a bunch of family friends, and I was having a very hard time breathing, and I was getting a lot of almost deja vu-like feelings, like I've seen this moment before, and I'll get into, you know, time on the other side and how, you know, how it's different there from evidential experience, but as I'm going into the car, I feel almost like a point that's just pulling me in the corner of the, you know, the land. It's just like this point that just is almost pulling me in. And as I get out of the car, I was 5 years old, and I have, for those who are into astrology, I always say this, I have many planetary aspects in Aries. And Aries is the sign that says, I know something's up, but I'm still going to do it because I don't care, because I'm a warrior. And that's kind of what I had. I knew that something was up, but I wanted to run. I wanted to play in the playground. I wanted to have a good time because I had all this fire, childlike energy that didn't believe that anything could go wrong. Boy, was I a little bit off on that. I started running, racing towards the slide, and I was going up the rungs of the ladder to get on the slide, and all of a sudden I tried to gasp in air, and literally nothing came about. I wasn't able to breathe in air, and that's probably the scariest feeling that anybody could possibly have in their lifetime, because, you know, we always talk about how lucky we are to breathe and how vital the breath is, and we're very conscious about the breath and its role in our own equilibrium. But at that time, you know, not breathing was such a foreign situation. So after that, I really looked at the breath in a whole new light, because you could not be breathing. You could be hooked up to machines and tubes at hospitals. And,
yes.
you know, people do that. They make the best of it. God bless them. But having a breath on your own is really special, and we're lucky. But anywho, I tried to gasp in for air a second time, and nothing came out. So I began to suffocate. And suffocation is, again, this was what I'm about to say is incredibly traumatic. And I hope that it's not traumatic for listeners, but it sure was traumatic for me.
Yes.
And so as I'm suffocating, I feel, you know, if you look at a power breaker for a home, you know, there's like power switches, and if you turn off switches, you know, things shut off or turn on. But for me, every
Correct.
Part of my body was almost like a power breaker, and every part was just shutting down one by one. And I was resisting, I was fighting, I was holding on to life, because we, you know, I believe in our hearts we want to be here, we want to fight until, you know, we know it's our time. But to me, this didn't feel like my time. And I was fighting for my life as hard as I could, and that suction point just kept on getting stronger and stronger and pulling me in. And all of a sudden, I was pulled into my brain. It was the last part that I was in, because everything else was just gone. And I was literally just, you know, everything was shut down.
Fighting.
But my brain was the last. Yeah. My brain was the last thing that I was in. And all of a sudden, much like with my out of body experience, I was like looking down on my brain. And as I'm looking down on it, I'm able to see it. And when I'm seeing it, I saw every single part of it, almost as if you look at the palm of your hand, or your own legs. And, you know, I chuckled to myself at how people forget about the brain and how people have created to be a foreign, you know, part of our, you know, physical body. You know, to me, at 5 years old, I understood every single part of it, like it was the palm of my hand. I saw every part, every functioning, every this, every that, and it was beautiful to look at. What wasn't so beautiful was about to happen. You know, as I'm looking down at my brain, I feel more suffocated. And for the listeners out there, what actually happened to me looking back on it was that I had something that was called whooping cough, which is a disease that's currently vaccinated today for, you know, many children who are fortunate enough. But I couldn't stop coughing. And, you know, I guess my lungs must have collapsed and I suffocated. So I had whooping cough, and that's what caused it. And actually, at that time, my brother also had whooping cough, and I'm going to get into him soon. You know, but as, you know, all of a sudden I'm in my brain, and just literally it just snaps in half, you know, just boom. And if you see like a plug that's pulled out of a room and you yank it like a really big plug, and there's almost like electricity when you pulled it, that's pretty much what happened with my brain, just boom. And I was just so terrified as to what was going to happen next because my brain just shut down. I'm thinking, and I'm looking at the faces of my parents that, you know, in my head, and I'm like, my God. How could anyone go on with losing, you know, and I was pretty cute at the time, I'm told, how could anyone go on with losing a 5-year-old boy? I know, geez, I wouldn't want to do that ever, you know. So, and all of a sudden, I began that point that I kept on seeing in the horizon just went into me like 1,000 miles an hour. And it was almost as if you go into a roller coaster, something going really in. So it was like a really fast roller coaster going into me about 1,000 miles an hour. And I was going and racing down an tunnel at some insane speed. And I couldn't control how fast I was going. All of a sudden I go as fast as I can in the deepest essence of my being. And all of a sudden I'm pulled and drawn into the light out of the dark end of the tunnel. And as I'm pulled out of the light, all of a sudden I see myself and I'm behind the right side of my head. And as I'm looking behind my head, I see this beautiful golden palace, and I'm looking, I go, my oh my, this is the most beautiful structure I've ever seen. And as I'm looking at it, I feel shaking and I'm vibrating incredibly fast, and I'm soaring up and up and up, you know, as if you're going on a roller coaster again. But we have concepts of what high is or low is on our earth plane. You know, we limit ourselves in what we feel high is or happy is. And what I learned from the other side, one thing, there's no limitations on what high could feel like. You could go as high, you could feel as high as high could feel like. There's no limitations, is only with your own thoughts, you're only with your own mind. And I experienced that because as I'm going high, it was too much for me. So I, with my own mind, I decided to almost stop. And that taught me the power of the mind's role on the other side, that we still have, you know, abilities to control what we're seeing. We still have thoughts, emotions, reactions. So, you know, I'll get into how we could work on that in the earth plane to enhance our experience on the earth plane and the other side too. But as I'm going there, I kept on seeing this golden palace and this magnificent palace. And all of a sudden, you know, the lights, it was like a brown goldish light. And the lights just became almost dim like. And all of a sudden I just heard whispers as if I was in like a field. And there was like, you know, electricity and almost like lightning and, you know, like lights flashing. And I just heard Christ, Christ, Christ all around me, just like whispers. And every time I heard Christ, the words would just whisper, you know, amongst the field. And every time that I said it, I got higher and higher. And I felt, you know, such a familiarity. And I felt at home every time that I heard those words. It was the most beautiful sensation. I didn't quite see Jesus. I heard his name as I'm going up into the heavens. And hearing that is almost like as if it's just the spiritual vibration. That's what's in the air on the other side. It's just that word, you know, and it's very familiar. But all of a sudden, I was drawn back to the slide, and I saw my two spiritual guides right next to me. And they went down with me on the slide, and they were the most magnificent, beautiful, entities I've ever seen. It was just, oh, my God. And when I looked at them, I knew instantaneously their name, who they were, and I was laughing at how I forgot about them. And to me, what I learned from spirit guides is spirit guides are very much who you are to a core. It's almost as if you. It's almost like you yourself, and, you know, they're just a real close extension of you. And all of a sudden, you know, after I went down the slide with my guides, I was drawn to a brown, goldish light, and I saw thousands of angels all around me, and the people who were at the park with me at that day, as they saw me on the ground, and they were surrounding me in a circle, and I saw thousands of angels in brown, goldish color. They were almost like childlike angels, but the angels were floating up very softly in the air, and I could see them right in front of my eyes, and it was the most magnificent, beautiful.
I think he's just gone off a minute, but we'll be okay. He'll be back on a minute. I think he's just, don't know what's happened, but he's just gone down a minute. But it's a fascinating story, what he's talking about. I'm sure the listeners are out there. I know he was talking about whooping cough, but I have a problem called sleep apnea. And sometimes I've woke up a couple of times, couldn't get my breath at all. And it's a similar sort of thing. He's come back on again. We'll just get him back on. Hello.
Hello, Bob. I'm very sorry about that. I think I was getting too strong in some of these words. And sometimes when you talk about spiritual energies, they really get involved with technology. It's very true. I could get into technology.
They do,
as well.
The energies. That's what happens sometimes.
It was very strong.
Yeah, you were talking about your near-death experience and what's happening and...
I was in the angelic realm, and all of a sudden I saw thousands and thousands of angels, and I saw the people around me. I saw their spiritual guides. I saw their auras around them. It was magnificent. And all of a sudden I was drawn to my soul family, who I knew instantaneously were people who I incarnated with thousands of times throughout, you know, the start of the soul. And to me, soul family is people who... you know, you're very similar to, and you're a very similar expression on the ray of God with them. And you have very similar themes, and it's a real family. But it's often biological that you incarnate with, but not always, but it's your core team. So I was drawn to my soul family. I looked at them, and I knew who they were, who their names were, and it was my core. And all of a sudden, you know, my guides, the archangels, all the angels were looking down. And by the way, the angels, what I learned from, is that they send energy to us. They send healing energy at all times throughout the day. And, you know, it really made me a lot more confident, you know, in the work that I do as a healer and Reiki practitioner. We're emulating angels in many ways by doing this. As the saying goes, as above, so below. So, you know, we're really trying to be unconditional and very light and very much there for whoever needs energy that's sent. So the angels do that, and we really emulate them in many ways. But anywho, you know, my soul family and you know, my team asked me, what are you going to do? And I mean, what do you mean I'm going to do? They go, are you going to stay or going to go? And I go, oh, geez, that's a really powerful question. This is a really beautiful moment in time. And all of a sudden, I thought about it, and I said, well, if I stay, what's going to come out of this life? What's going to be? And they said, you know, do you really want to know? I said, sure. So all of a sudden, I kept on seeing images after images, like boom, boom, like flashes of what I would do in my whole lifetime. And the one image that stuck with me was that I saw myself speaking in front of a crowd on many different spiritual topics, and it was a beautiful audience. And I go, my God, this could happen? And my angels just nodded, and my soul family nodded, and I go, wow, magnificent. And I saw the eyes of people, and I saw the look in their faces, and I really, it was true. And that tells you something about you know, our lives, that many times we walk forward and we think we're moving forward, but many things that we think that we haven't done, we have done. We just have to experience. So it tells you a little bit about the past, present, future, that our futures have been almost lived. We just have to walk past through that and experience that. So I really saw my future to a high degree, and I said, this is beautiful, but I don't believe you. How is this going to happen? And much like your show, you know, Over the Rainbow, you know, trust your greatest dream and trust your highest vision, because that's true, because we all come here with a dream, and that's actually charted from what I remembered from my experience in what's called the takeoff period, where you chart your whole life with your angels and guides, and it's all planned. So you think about the people that you're going to be with, the things that you're going to do, and that's your roadmap. So destiny, roadmap, life paths, I've all seen all that. But I said, you know, I'm going to stay because, you know, this message needs to get out there, and I'm seeing the beauty, and I'm seeing the vibrations really increase, and this is necessary. We need to do this. And as I saw myself speaking, I saw that same one energy that I saw, and it was literally the crowd and I were one with one another. And I said, how beautiful, because that taught me something. When you're speaking, it's not that the speaker, as we see, is something better than or separate than the crowd, just the opposite. The purpose of a speaker or someone giving a talk is to create one energy within the room and to create and to have the energy of the room increase. So it's really to be one with, not one separate. So I said, I'm going to stay. And then all of a sudden, everyone just kept on fading. My guides faded, everyone faded. And I said, no, how is this going to happen? I don't believe you. This isn't going to happen. And I was left with one last message from my guides. They said, watch your thoughts, because your thoughts become your reality. They are your highway. Yeah. They are your roadmaps. So if you believe it, it will happen. Just trust the process. And, you know, from that moment on, I saw life as a different experience, that I wasn't reactive in what was happening to me. I saw my role as a co-creator or proactive, what was occurring. And I understood the fact that, you know, we have things that we can't control. Some things are destiny, but in many ways, we can control our own destinies by the thoughts that we take. And we're very much drivers, and our thoughts are our roadmaps. They're the highways that we take. And we could certainly, I mean, the law of attraction is very true, you know, up to a point, but it certainly has, you know, its validity, definitely. And, you know, all of a sudden I woke up on a hospital bed, and I had my whole life to think about this, and that's part of the purpose to me of being a human being, is that you have a vision, you have an inspiration, but it's your job to draw something out of it, to create and to carve something out of it. You know, so what I had, the narrative was great, but my biggest test in life is to, you know, to examine that and to really find meaning and lessons within what I experienced, because that ultimately is the greatest message that I could provide to the public.
Do you think it's changed your life completely then?
I'm sorry?
Do you think it's changed your life?
Oh, undeniably. Undeniably. You know, we...
You look at things in a different light now.
Oh, absolutely. Things are much different. And, you know, that experience, for good or bad, has changed me. I mean, there's many, you know, there's many positives, but it also was very scary. You know, I suffocated. I had a lot of brain trauma. It was incredibly scary, and every day I think about that. And, you know, sometimes my breath, I worry if I'm going to lose air sometimes. So I've had a lot of therapists help me throughout this experience, but it was sacrificial in a way, because I knew I would struggle, you know, through this experience. But ultimately, sometimes if you want to move forward, you need to sacrifice. And if you want to see great light, sometimes you have to, you know, hit great bottoms to experience its polar force. So, you know, that experience was a whirlwind of highs and lows, but ultimately it's the highs that I'm here to share, and it's the fact that we have nothing to worry about is what I have to share, and it's to really show the eternity of the soul from evidential experience, that life is not what we think it is, and it really, our souls have no beginning, no middle, no end. It just goes on forever and eternity, and we're here to play in many ways. We're here to work, you know, and to increase our souls and ourselves and others around us, but really, you know, this lifetime isn't just one bit of, it just isn't all we have. We've had thousands of lifetimes, and it's just so beautiful to understand the full picture of our lives and look at the, you know, look at our drawing as not just one separate drawing, but to see many different drawings that we've, you know, we've made out throughout the existence of our soul.
Yeah. What's your next step? What do you want to do now?
Well, that's a very interesting question, Bob. You know, my right for this moment in time right now, I think you do best if you really understand your roles and your assignments from spirit. And for me, my task for this moment, you know, is to really share, you know, my teachings from the other side and from the spirit realm. So for this moment in time, I do give lectures. I just started this thing about 2 months ago, and it happened because, you know, much like my vision told me that, you know, I forgot to mention this, when I saw myself on the crowd, I needed someone to kind of shove me to get on the stage or to kind of push me. And I had a good friend of mine who said, you know, you got something to give, kid. A lot of people are going to get something from this. I go, really? I don't see it. I don't see much in it. But he goes, you have something. And I go, wow. And the more they told me that, the more that I believed in it. And I had to overcome a lot of my insecurity. That's part of, you know, your soul's maturation, and insecurity is something that I really struggle with. So I had an interview about 2 or 3 months ago when I was a keynote speaker at a big Long Island event, you know, that housed some real big names in the metaphysical community. But, you know, going forward, I'm really zazzed to speak about this and to share this story as much as I could with the public. And, you know, so going forward, I book speeches. I'm working on my own personal book, on my own experience and what I've learned. I'm working on a lot of magazine articles as well. So the combination of speaking, you know, and working on my book and magazine articles and doing what we're doing here on Blog Talk and to share with people who may not be able to catch a lecture that I do, you know, is a nice start. But ultimately, what I have to say is, you know, spirituality is all about evolving and all about changing and shifting. So, you know, as I go forward, I'm certainly going to shift in what I provide in my talks. But for now, this is an honor to talk about this experience. And really, I've seen a profound change in people who have come into this lecture that I give and come out of it. So it's evidential spirituality. It's not saying that you could read out a book. You know, this is firsthand, hot off the press, you know, experiences that people could benefit from. So, you know, that's one of my next steps that I'm trying to do. Yeah.
I'm sure you'll fulfill that achievement as well. But it's good that there's somebody like you around to talk about these things. Because a lot of people, I know we talked earlier about a lot of people on the room, but it's nice when they could come to you or go to your lectures and talk to you after and just say, look, this has happened to me. I might need some help, and I'm glad you're around to tell us what to do.
Oh, it's my greatest pleasure to shift people's versions of what they feel death is. You know, because I was once in preschool, and, you know, after this experience, I guess maybe in kindergarten or preschool, and someone told me that there was going to be a funeral for a person, and I almost laughed because I saw people around me were sad, and now I understand the sad part with dying, but I almost laughed that, you know, you could see this person as dead almost, as underground. You know, the other side is such a quick shift from our earth plane, it's not even funny. It's almost as if you go to a radio and just turn it up a little bit. It's just a different different plane, but it's just a different frequency, exactly. But when you die, it's not like you totally change. It's like, you know, you just change shape. It's just the death of the body, and the death of body doesn't separate you and that person. Even more so, I tell people that when you lose someone, you know, many times death is to teach us things. And one of the greatest teachings that I learned from death was that the death of the body does not separate you and that person. You and that person are connected in so many more profound ways than just a bodily separation. And that could be a great teacher for people. And we could learn a lot from what we view as pain and suffering, and pain and suffering can be turned to enlightenment if we shift our focus. And it's not easy to do because plenty of people really struggle with a loss of a family member. So you have to be careful about how you do it. And maybe some people aren't ready to hear that yet. It's too heavy for them. So I have to be careful. But, you know, if people ask oftentimes, you know, I'll say, do you really want to know? Or, you know, do you want to have honest answers? Because honesty really gets people places, but sometimes people aren't ready, and that's okay. You know, when the student's ready, the teacher will come, and vice versa for me too. When I'm ready, the student will come. So, you know, it's my goal to really ease a lot of pain because, you know, I look at what happens when people die, and it's just the amount of waterworks that occurs and screaming and crying, and I understand that part, but also I think that would be, it would be an easier process if we have more and more of people, what I do, coming out and giving more evidence of the other side. And people may question what I do, and they say, how come this person saw a garden and this person saw this? And I said, in the English language, we could learn many things, but isn't there a saying that says everyone has their own bliss? I go, yeah. So I said, that's very true on the other side. Heaven or the other side has many subjective themes. So what I saw may be a little bit alternative differently than, let's say, the other person. But amongst those differences, there's always commonalities in experience, meaning, excuse me, when you pass, you carry you with wherever you go. So the physical dimensions of the other side may shift, but ultimately the ultimate heaven is you, meaning the ultimate heaven is your heart, your soul, your emotion. That's where heaven lies. It's almost as if you could look at someone who has a $5 million home, it's a beautiful structure, but they're miserable and they're very disconnected. And that could happen on the other side. So I say to people, don't concern yourself so much with the physical dimensions of heaven. No. You're missing the point. The ultimate church is a church within. You know, it's you who build the greatest heaven. So the higher you are, the more that you grow on the earth plane, because, see, on the earth plane, we don't know what age means. You could live 5 years, you could live 100 years. It's not about years. Years don't matter. It's about elevation. It's about growth. It's about increase. It's about becoming different than you were before. It's about the shift. And the shift is the biggest word that I'll use with what we do here spiritually, because that's what we're here to do. We're constantly here to shift, to always change, always evolve, because that's God-like, you know, because, you know, we're here to really change. And also, one other thing that I learned from the other side is the brain's role within spirituality, because if people were listening, the one thing that separated me and the other side was the brain. Once my brain shut down, I was on the other side. So what I have to say is that the brain could be our greatest ally and greatest separation with the other side. If we learn ways of incorporating the other side within our earthly lives, it could be great. Now, if we get too caught up in our own brains, that could be a wall, and we could become too human, and we could become too intellectual and too separate from spirituality. So really, understanding the brain's role as a filter or as a bridge between the two worlds is very big. The next step that people may ask is how, and that's what we try to do. Meditation or yoga meditation, different modalities, Reiki, all these things are all ways for you to calm down your brain waves and to allow energies from the other side to come into you, to be a better bridge between the two worlds, to infuse the two better, because that's our job here. We're here to be bridges between the two worlds, and that's how we walk in balance and harmony with the divine, and we don't get too human. And it's funny how technology blew up, but I'll say, in talking about my phone going out, I'll say, there's a great saying that I always say in my lectures, and I'll say it again, that I'm along the lines of incorporating God within our experience, you know, there's a saying that says, technology with God is indestructible. Technology without God is destructive, meaning technology or the greater God intelligence force that we carry with us. If we carry God within ourselves, we are walking as enlightened beings. Now, in our higher thoughts, if we create too much infrastructure, if we think about ourselves too much in our own buildings and, in our own fossil fuel emissions, if we get too human, we make this life about ourselves. We don't carry God with us. Then it becomes a separate life, and we're not balanced beings. We don't walk with God. We walk separately. So really, as spiritual beings, we're here to walk with God in our experience while having a human experience and going forward, but also looking back on the other side, looking backwards and carrying the two with us for all our days of our lives.
You're making me smile thinking about about the path you lead and where you're going and what you're doing. It's not a dream no more. It's reality. And there's more to come from you in the future as well. Travel, lots of conferences, more talking. I'm sure there's lots. Yeah.
Well,
there's a change
my
around you as well.
I thank you. Well, change is inevitable. You know, biologically, we change our blood cells every 7.5 years. So change is a must. So no matter what you do, even if you think you're sitting still, change is always a must. So it's good that you, I thank you for picking that up. And hopefully I could, you know, can meet one day in England, because England is a place where I've had a lot of past life connectivity. So for me to go back home in England is a real place where I want to be. But actually, you know, what, you know, if people ask, you know, what caused you to really talk about this? I'll answer that. One day I was in a yoga class and a woman came up to me and said, you know, are you there, Bob?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah. I'm sorry. And a woman came up to me and she goes, you know, you have a crowd in front of you. I see you speaking in front of a crowd. Bear in mind, I didn't say one word to this individual. And she says, wow, you have a beautiful crowd in front of you. And I go, really? Wow. And then all of a sudden, I was brought back to the vision that I had in my near-death experience, that I was born to speak. Speaking was my jacket. And that really was almost like a kick in the rear that I got to get it going. So after that date, it almost felt like my bed was on fire, that I had to get a crowd. And finally, a couple months ago, we found each other. Crowd and I found each other. But that tells you that God comes with mysterious messengers to tell you things that you need to hear. And I'm here to tell any listener out here that I'm not the only one with the dream. We all have a dream. I'm no different. But the dream, you know, is to be honored. You know, you could have parents or teachers or people trying to tell you things or to create you into different things that you are. If you look at the way that we breed children today, we stripe away their spiritual gifts with you know, almost like shoving down information down their throats in our classrooms and creating just these left brain beings. And we're looking at children as almost blank canvases. What we need to do is to shift the way we educate, and we need to, you know, not project what we have, what we know on kids, but to allow kids to tell us about what they know, because they're the wisest kids. They're hot off the press. They're coming back from the other side to hear. So I think our world would be shifter if we honor not only the children but the elderly, because the elderly are the wisest, you know, on our earth based, and the children come off the wisest spiritually in many ways because they're the most enlightened. You know, they come from truth. And, you know, as I go forward today, I hear more stories of kids coming up with things. You know, but essentially what I have to say is the dream, and the Over the Rainbow show is really about this. The dream is what we came here to do. We came here with a dream. It was inspiration.
Yeah.
It was in many ways a choice. Now we have to take a lot of layers off of what people told us, you know, because some people could get too caught up in that, and there's too much rubble that gets blocked from that. But the dream is with anyone, and we have to try to cultivate environments that allow people to really find this dream, connect with it. And you do that, the more that you connect to your spiritual bodies, the more that you know your own jacket that you were born to put on, and the more you understand your divine purpose. And it's better if you find it on your own, because, you know, that I always say change, the greatest change is when change within. And even if you tell someone, you know, like that woman told me, I had to feel it on my own. So I think people need to feel it on their own. They understand from my experience that I'm no different than the next person sitting next to me. Dreams, aspirations, life paths, promises, growth, it's with everyone who comes here, aside to dark entities who help us with dreams, because by providing darkness, they give us something that we don't want to become, and we're more inspired to be drawn towards the light, and the light becomes greater from our inspiration to be drawn towards it. So it's a law of polarities again, but the dream, though, really is real with you, and I think hopefully we can ignite more dreams, and people can have the courage to say no.
Yes.
Yes, I can. And my dream is here. It's a gift to be open, and it's not my gift. It's our gift, and I'm going to open it day by day, moment by moment. I'm going to get, you know, every day I'm going to get better and better so that I can, you know, I don't have to celebrate Christmas once a year. I can give over gifts at every moment in time by just simply opening up my gift.
Right. We've got 5 minutes left. There's somebody else wants...
Absolutely.
I don't know.
No,
we're not giving a number. I'll just see who it is. Hello.
Oops, hey. Hey,
hello.
This is Andrew. Can you guys hear me? Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes,
can you
hear me? Would you like to ask Jake a question?
Oh, yeah, man. I was just wondering if you
if you've had any like visions of or information coming through about like Atlantis and like resurrection and the Golden Age.
Okay, is this addressed to Bob or to me or Jake or both? Who would you like to address this question?
The person that was that had the experience. I just caught the last
okay.
5 minutes of the show, literally.
I forgot to mention. It's a terrific question. And by the way, what was your name, if you don't mind me asking?
Andrew.
Andrew. Okay, so I, by the way, in my experience, I not only saw future lives that I had, but previous lifetimes. In previous lifetimes, I saw that I had an Atlantean existence. Now with Atlantis, we're repeating Atlantis in many ways. If you look at Atlantis, a big theme of it was our innovations in technology and the fact that we had telepathic communication. So we were a highly mm-hmm. advanced civilization that was very one with each other. What Atlantis teaches us in the destruction of the Lost City teaches us, much like I said before, that we had technological advancements and we had advancements as ourselves as people, but we got too much caught up in ego, so we tried to out-God God with our own innovations, and we got too advanced. And advancement isn't bad, but if you don't carry God with you and you try to compete with God in your own creations, that's when the city will crumble. So today, if you look at us, you know, even though the structure has changed, what we're doing now is very Atlantean, meaning we're having societies that are becoming ever more so telepathic and ever so more so closer in our communication. Now we're also incredibly innovative. So that draws a lot of parallels with Atlantean civilization. The test that we have today is to not get competitive with each other and our own advancements with ourselves, not to go after each other, but also not to go after God. To understand that we have great spiritual advancements, okay, fine, that's beautiful. But let's not repeat mistakes of the past. We have to go forward with God and understand that when we advance, we have to look back in a rearview mirror and understand our home, our creator, and where all our advancements come from. So be proud like a lion, and pride is great, but it's very easy to bend pride into narcissism and selfishness. And I think that's what people mistake in this field of the New Age. They get too egotistical. So I think you should be prideful, yes, but understand its roots and where our advancements come from. And that's what we're supposed to do to not repeat Atlantis. So.
I think, like, the frustration, like, is that a lot of technologies, like, emerging, like, I don't know if you've had a look at the pyramids and, like, what they really were and
mm-hmm.
How, like, our planet used to exist in the terraforming and the time that we could live because... You know, I mean, if you've got stuff to do, the problem that I'm having is that people are all focused on competitiveness, like you just said. And as soon as
mm-hmm.
you start trying to speak to the average person and say, well, would you like to find out how to live for, you know, like 900 plus years? Would you like to find out how to do that? They don't take that seriously. And there are reasons why the pyramids exist or existed, and, you know, they need to be rebuilt.
Absolutely.
Perhaps. But, I'm wondering if you've had a look at things like, you know, the... negative ions and stuff like that.
Well, you know, everything certainly has a purpose, and science proves that. People, you know, like to protect themselves. So if there's information that they feel is over their heads, they won't want to listen because think about it, foreign things are, we like to analyze, we're an analytical world. So if you can't analyze what you feel needs to be analyzed and wrap your head around it, you'll feel weak, you'll feel vulnerable. And for you to feel better about yourself, you'll just push
mm-hmm.
it away. History tells us
yeah.
that the greatest historians are those who do not make the same mistake twice. So what history tells us is to learn from history, not ignore it, but to learn from it. So we should
yeah.
learn from these things. Atlantis is very much something that we should learn from. And people who don't want
right.
to listen, that's their choice, but and that's where they are. But again, it's their loss. Eventually, they'll have no choice because as we're having more of these tragedies come within murderings and stuff like that, people have to choose sides. So eventually, if they want to choose this or if they want to choose themselves in their own, you know, thinking. But eventually, they'll have to choose because the forces will be too powerful. It will be too clear where you have to choose where you want to
Thanks,
be.
Thanks, man.
So absolutely.
All right.
A pleasure, Andrew. Thank you very much for calling.
Yeah. Thank you
very
much.
That's a beautiful question.
Man. Bye.
Now then, Jake, we're getting down to the last second. Can you let everybody know where they can get in touch with you?
Absolutely. So I have my own personal webpage. It's www.jacobstory.com, and it's pronounced J, and it's spelled www.jacobstory.com. That's www.jacobstory.com. And there's a contact button on my webpage, and they can learn all about me from that, from my website. And I love visitors. You know, my website is my home, and everyone is welcome with honor.
Oh, lovely. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. Oh, today, where you are.
This afternoon, yes.
Yes, good afternoon. Yes.
What an honor, yes. 4 o'clock already, yes.
Well, but, it's so wonderful to come on here. And maybe in the future, I will invite you back on again.
It's always an honor, and, you know, it's an honor to have you or consider you a friend and a real trailblazer and someone that I really am honored to share time and space with. So thank you so much for having me, Bob. What an honor, and we'll meet again.
No problem.
Don't know where.
No problem.
We'll meet
thank
again. Don't know where, don't know when, but it will happen.
Ah, I love it. Thank you for Andrew
right.
for ringing in. I know Tiffany's still there, so it's so nice for Tiffany to be around. And give us a thought.
Yes. Absolutely.
And I'm trying to think who's on my show next week. If you just bear with me, momento. Let's have a look. Right. It's Amy Major next week. It's just a psychic medium. She's on next Wednesday. So I'm looking forward to that. And thank you again. I will be in touch with you again, Jake, sometime. I'll give you a ring sometime in the future. And Tiffany, I will get in touch with you as well, and we'll have a chat sometime. You'll just have to give me a time when it's convenient to ring you.
Sounds wonderful, Bob.
Anyway,
Alrighty.
Thank you so much again, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, listeners, and thank you, Bob. Thank you.
Thank you.